So now in verse 11, John says, and I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So notice John says this other beast, and notice where he came. Whereas the first beast came out of the sea. And we know in the Bible that the sea represents the nations, right? This beast comes out of the earth. And so the fact that this beast comes out of the earth, that represents humanity.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast.
Talking about next week's lesson. And you want to be here next week. And, you know, I know that there are some people who can't join us in the afternoons, but if you know somebody that can join us next Wednesday afternoon, we are going to be talking about artificial intelligence, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the lesson on artificial intelligence will come out of our lesson today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to, at the end of the lesson today, I'm going to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and how it is affecting our world. And whether you know it or not, artificial intelligence is a part of your life. And it's more a part of your life than you really know. And so we want to look at, and again, this is next week, you know, we want to look at some things from the Bible. And, you know, what does the Bible say about these things? You know, we're going to look at Revelation 13 today. And Revelation 13 is going to talk about some things, oh, hallelujah, that wouldn't have been possible until this whole issue of artificial intelligence has come to play. And so we're going to do a deep dive next week on that. And so you want to make sure that you're with us. And as I hear a lot of people say, tell a friend, tell a friend. All right. So let's get into our lesson for this week. We have been talking about the tribulation. And we've looked at the judgments, you know, way back in the fall of 2022, we looked at the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and the seven bowl judgments. And so we see that these things are a part of the tribulation, and we looked at these things in a lot of detail. And so again, the videos have been posted, I believe, on YouTube. So if you want to go back and look at the videos, and also Naomi has the notes. So you can get those notes on the studies that we did there. We've looked at, as far as characters during the tribulation, we've looked at the 144,000 witnesses. Who are they? You know, Jehovah's Witnesses will think they know who they are, but we did look at that, and we talked about who are the 144,000. We looked at the two witnesses in Revelation 11. Who are they, and what will they do? And now we are looking at the unholy Trinity, and we saw the dragon. We looked at the first beast, and today, we are looking at the second beast. So as we come today, this will be the topic of our study, the second beast. And we're going to see that some of the functions of the second beast are directly related to artificial intelligence. So that's where we are going to look at artificial intelligence, you know, in relationship to this second beast. All right. So we talked about the unholy trinity. We see that the dragon, who is Satan, is the head of the unholy trinity. We looked at the first beast, who is the Antichrist, the opposite of Christ. And then we are today are going to look at the third person of the unholy trinity, which is the second beast, or the false prophet, and he mimics the Holy Spirit. So just like we have the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, during the tribulation, we will see another Trinity, which will be the unholy or hellish Trinity. This will be the dragon, who is Satan, the first beast, who is the Antichrist, and the second beast, who is the false prophet. In Revelation 16 and verse 13, John said, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So here we see all three of them together. But in Revelation 12, we see the dragon. And then in Revelation 13, we see the first and the second beast. So let's look at this second beast. And so in Revelation 13, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, Revelation 13 and verse 11. Now, let's go back to verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea." So that was the first beast, right? The first beast came up out of the sea. And we talked about the horns and the heads and what they all represent. All right. So now in verse 11, John says, "And I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." So notice John says this other beast, and notice where he came. Whereas the first beast came out of the sea. And we know in the Bible that the sea represents the nations, right? This beast comes out of the earth. And so the fact that this beast comes out of the earth, that represents humanity. Okay, so again, now saints, keep in mind that Revelation is highly symbolic. And so that's why it's good to be a part of a Bible study that teaches through Revelation. There's a lot of pastors and a lot of churches that won't touch Revelation because they say it's too controversial. They say it's too symbolic, you know, so they don't touch it. So you don't see a lot of Bible studies, you know, out of the book of Revelation. Now we'll look at the Gospels. We'll do a study out of the Gospels and, you know, out of the epistles, you know, a lot of people shy away from Revelation. And the reason again, because of the symbolism. And so I like to break the symbolism down. And so as we look at the fact that this beast came out of the earth, right? And in scripture, the earth represents humanity. And so the fact that this beast comes up out of humanity means that he's going to come out of, you know, the mass of humanity. And some people say, well, this is the religious mass. You know, there's a lot of religions in the world today. And so it's possible that this second beast, who is the false prophet, will come up out of a religion. You know, people are looking for answers today. People are looking for someone to come and comfort us concerning all the ills of this world. And so we see here that this second beast will come up out of probably religious humanity. Now, let's look at the description of the second beast. John said that he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And so there you see a depiction of this second beast. You know, he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He has two horns like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. He will have the look of a lamb, but the roar of a lion. And so what did Jesus say? Jesus said, beware of false, oh, come on now, saints, come on now. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. I just did a devotion, and it'll probably be coming out in a couple weeks. As many of you know, I come on this show called Hard Questions, and somebody wrote in a question, and the question was, and it was kind of a lengthy question, but let me just break it down and summarize it for you. The question was Jesus married to Mary Magdalene, and did they have a child? So that was a question. And now many of you may remember, this was years ago when we were at the old church. So this, you know how long this was. I did a study on the Da Vinci Code, and Dan Brown, who wrote the book, The Da Vinci Code, one of the things that he promoted is that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married and that they actually had a son. And so now this is out there, you know, people are believing this, right? That Jesus was married. And so this comes from one of the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Philip, which, you know, came out about 200 or 300 years after Christ died, right? And so somebody wrote this gospel and they put Philip's name on it. You remember Philip the evangelist in the book of Acts. So somebody wrote this gospel, and they put Philip's name on it. And in this gospel, there seems to be a reference, which is even, it's even not a clear reference, but there seems to be a reference to the fact that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married, okay? It talked about, and I'm just going to, so it's in the devotion. So when the devotion comes out in a couple of weeks, you'll see it. But it talks about Jesus and Mary Magdalene kissing on the lips. It talks about them having a special relationship that they touched. And I saw all this other kind of stuff, right? So there's a lot of false prophets that are out there. And so that's why, saints, you got to know the truth, right? And when you know the truth, you don't get caught up in all this garbage that's out there. Now, how many people out there actually now, I mean, the fact that this person actually wrote this question in to the pastors for Hard Question, right? The fact that this person wrote this question in means that, and as a matter of fact, I should have brought the question and posted here on the PowerPoint. But at the end of the question, and again, it was kind of a long question, but at the end of the question, the person said, please help me, I'm confused. Please help me, I'm confused, right? So evidently there was enough doubt put in this person's mind to think that maybe Jesus was married. Maybe Jesus did have a child, all right? So, you know, in this article, or in this devotion, you know, I deal with the fact that Mary Magdalene, so I'm just gonna give you a little bit, then you're gonna have to read the devotion, right? Because I go into a lot of more detail in the devotion. But Mary Magdalene appears 11 times in the Gospels, right? 11 times in the Gospels, and not once does it ever say her and Jesus were married. You would think out of 11 times that it would have been said that this was Jesus' wife, or, you know, this was Jesus' concubine. I don't think he would have a concubine, but, you know, it would say something like that. Now, you know, one of the things that Dan Brown says, I think he tried to say that they had a secret relationship. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world can Jesus have a secret relationship with all the stuff that he was doing, right? All the people that he was healing, all the time that he spent with the disciples, right? So again, beware of false prophets. And so the second beast is a false prophet, and he will promote his agenda, his wicked agenda. And again, you know, in your notes, that that would have been emailed to you, we said that there were a couple views as to who this second beast is. You know, some people say, which is what I believe. So if you have your notes, you see this in your notes. The second beast is a real person who promotes worship of the Antichrist. So, you know, that's what I would believe right there. But there are some people that say that the second beast was the church in Rome. And then there are others that say that the second beast is a religious system. You know, we have a lot of false prophets and a lot of false teachers in the world today. So they would say that instead of the beast being, you know, a person, that it's a system, you know, it's a false religious system. And we see that there's a lot of those that are out there today too. So the description of the beast, you know, he has two horns. And again, you know, remember that in the Bible, when it talks about horns, you know, horns a lot of times represents power, okay? He has two horns like a lamb and he speaks like a dragon, right? So, you know, he looks like a lamb, you know, coming in power, but when the words come out of his mouth, you know, they are the words of a dragon. All right. Now, what are the duties of the second beast? You know, we see, first of all, that he promotes the worship of the first beast. And we know the first beast, again, is the Antichrist. In verse 12, it says, "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them who dwell on it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Now, we talked about that deadly wound last week. It seems like this first beast is going to receive a wound, and some people say that he's going to fake death, right? And then he's going to, you know, come back to life again. Now, we heard that story before, right? You know, we're getting ready to come upon resurrection season. You know, a lot of people, again, I just say one of my pet peeves, that this is not big, so it's not going to send you, it's not going to make you not right with God. But, you know, I try not to say Easter, right? Because, you know, when you say Easter, you know, that's, if you study Easter, you know, it's associated with, you know, rabbits and fertility and all this other kind of stuff, right? So I try to say resurrection, all right? So we are coming upon the resurrection. As a matter of fact, we are doing a series on Sunday mornings, and it's titled The Road to the Resurrection by Way of the Parables. The Road to the Resurrection by the Way of the Parables. All right. So this beast, the second beast, promotes the worship of the first beast. And like we said, the first beast receives some kind of deadly wound, right? Where, again, maybe where he even faked his death and then came back to life. And, you know, even in verse 3, you know, it says this about the first beast: "And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed." Right? So again, symbolizing being dead, coming back to life, resurrection. All right. "And all the world wondered after the beast." Okay, so when he does this, then all the world is going to begin to follow him. So not only will the world be following the first beast, but now this second beast, he's going to push people to worship the first beast, right? So that's one of the duties of the second beast, is to promote the worship of the first beast. All right. Now, we see, secondly, he causes fire to come down from heaven. Verse 13, "And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, we know that Elijah, who was a great prophet of God, did many miracles. And one of the miracles that Elijah did is that he caused fire to come down from heaven. And if you remember, in 1 Kings, when Elijah caused the fire to come down from heaven, what happened? The people saw it and they fell on their faces and they said, what? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And so the false prophet will cause fire to come down from heaven and he will try to get the people to do what? To worship the first beast, all right? He causes fire to come down from heaven. He deceives the world by performing miracles. He deceives the world by performing miracles. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles. All right, so he's gonna do a lot of miracles. You know, and if you look back to Elijah and Elisha, they did a lot of miracles, right? So if you study the Bible, there were periods where miracles were more prolific than at other times. And so we see that during the times of Elijah and Elisha, God was doing miracles in abundance. And so during the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet will do a lot of miracles. And you know, when you think about another period when miracles were very strong, when was that? So we see during the time of Elijah and Elisha, and when else do we see the miracles being manifested in a multitude of ways? It was during the early church, right? Just think about that. I mean, just look at all the miracles that Peter did. Look at all the miracles that Paul did. And so, you know, here they were trying to preach the gospel, right? And people might not have necessarily wanted to hear the gospel. But now, if you take out a handkerchief, right? If you take out a handkerchief and you start waving it over people, and then people get healed, then you're going to start paying attention. I might need to listen to this guy's message, right? If somebody dies and you come and you raise that person to the dead and you're trying to tell them about Jesus, they might not want to hear about Jesus. But when you raise somebody from the dead, I might need to listen to this message. And so a lot of times the miracles authenticated the message of the gospel, right? The miracles authenticated the message of the gospel. And so we see during the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet will do miracles. And what will be one of the reasons that they're doing miracles? To authenticate their message, right? Because people might not want to necessarily listen to them, but now when they see these guys doing these miracles, then they're going to stop. Who was that? The Stylistics, they used to sing that song, "Stop, look, listen to your heart and what it." All right, man. I digress, right? Remember that song? "Stop, look, listen to your heart and what it's saying." So when you see these guys doing miracles, right? You know, it's going to cause you. Now, we're not going to be here. Praise God. Praise God that we're not going to be here, that we will be in glory. We will be raptured up in glory. So we're not going to be here. But for those who are here, you know, that are unsaved, you know, that song is going to be true in their life, right? When they see the false prophet and they see the Antichrist doing these miracles, they're going to stop, look, and listen.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast, you can contact us at andkurtandjesus.org and request The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast. That's andkurtandjesus.org and request The Unholy Trinity, the Second Beast, from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.